From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. This very familiar scene of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes is before us again for our consideration. The scene which deeply impressed the mind of the entire church for two millennia is impressive indeed, and at first it may be good for us to think about how, on the surface level, it initially impressed those who were witnessed the miracle. One must consider that with a crowd of 4,000 people, even in today's context, it would be difficult to have everyone's attention all at once, especially for 3 days. So no doubt, the discussion about the food had been ongoing for a little while, and pangs of hunger had begun to hit the people, but they were afraid to go home because they might miss something that Jesus had to teach and be forced only to hear about it afterwards. So no, they were not going to leave unless they were sent away. But they were not sent away. And after 3 days, indeed, they ran out of nourishment. Now, every mother who has ever considered planning a multi-day trip in an area where there is no store could have said, I told you we were going to run out of food. And so somewhere up at the front of the crowd where Jesus was, the disciples began to disperse and hand out small bits of food, knowing that there were no great baskets of food to fill 4,000 bellies. The people would be forced to ask, where in the world is this food really coming from? And so, very much like the guests at the wedding of Cana, where only the servants knew that Jesus had turned water into wine, these people benefited from the feast being dealt out to them, while only some understood what was happening. Different from the wedding of Cana, though, at the end of the distribution, when the leftovers were gathered, all wide-eyed and silent recognized the miracle. Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord of all, had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like guests of a wedding that had run out of wine. They were like Hebrews in the desert of Sinai who had followed the Lord out of bondage and found themselves without food. The Lord Jesus had compassion on the multitude, saying, if I send them away, fasting, to their own houses, they will faint by the way. The first amazement is that the physical need was met. We had nothing to eat, and then by God's grace, we had something to eat. I always like to remind people, though, that if you think Jesus's role in his incarnation was to feed everyone enough food so they were never hungry, he did a terrible job. Here, 4,000 people were satisfied for one meal on one day, but in the surrounding communities, no doubt there were tens of thousands of people that could have all benefited from free meals, and not one meal, but endless meals. This was not his purpose. If you multiply that by the rest of the world, the need for food is pretty much unending. He did not come simply to multiply bread and fish. But when he does do a miracle like this, and especially a miracle similar in your own life, we should be thankful, and we should look for the message that is deeper than the surface. Just 2 Sundays ago, we considered another multiplication. Jesus, going out to fish with St. Peter, caused the laborers to bring in such a haul of fish that St. Peter had that same kind of revelation, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. If it was only about fish, he should have said, this is the best day of fishing we've ever had. I love being a fisherman. Wait till they hear about this. That's not what he said. Instead, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. This is not about fish. On the day of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, the revelation again is this is not about fish. This is not about bread. This is not really about meeting our physical needs or improving our circumstances. Something much greater than that is happening here. Later, St. Paul, who, like us, was not blessed to be present for the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, no doubt heard about it often from the other apostles who were there. But St. Paul gives us no indication that he spent time groaning about how he missed out on that one miracle, that one day of provision. Instead, he is steadfastly focused on the mission at hand. And that is not to think back about a time when God made life fruitful, wishing you could go back then, but rather consider the hungry multitudes before you now. And amongst a number of references, if you read his epistles, references to fruitfulness in the Christian life, St. Paul writes to the Romans in a message we've heard today about a kind of harvest in the spiritual life. Speaking of the past life of sin, St. Paul asked, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? What could you offer to a hungry multitude from the harvest that you produced in your freedom from righteousness?" St. Paul says, you could offer them death. Conversely, he asks, but now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. What, by the grace of God, can you offer a hungry multitude? Can there be a greater example than our Lord, a servant of God, free from sin, bearing fruit unto holiness, and in the end, everlasting life? Jesus' own life amongst us was holiness and righteousness. His life bore fruit in all circumstances. By his teaching, by his miracles, by his actions, he was bearing fruit that could feed the multitudes by his compassion, and sometimes even multiplied loaves and fishes to literally feed the multitudes. But in the end, even his condemnation, his crucifixion, his death, and his burial bore fruit, an immeasurable harvest of grace and freedom and life, which we benefit from not only today in the sacrament of his body and blood, but in the fruitfulness of our own existence, leading to everlasting life. You are not Christ, but your life is bound up together with his. Your life in Christ will bear fruit that can nourish others. There would come a day after his resurrection that Jesus would once again sit down around a meal of fish, this time speaking expressly with St. Peter. He ate the fish, proving that his appearance was not simply an apparition, no hallucination. The miracle was once again, though, not about the fish. But fish were used again to prove something. And Jesus, who once looked out on 4,000 people without food and had compassion on the multitude, now, after his resurrection, turned to St. Peter and said, "It's your turn. If you love me, if you have compassion on the multitudes, I want you to look out at them and feel the compassion of a shepherd for a flock that was without food. Concerned that they will faint by the way if they continue fasting. If you love me, love them. Feed my sheep. If you love me, the Lamb of God, then feed my lambs." The Lord instituted the sacrament of his body and blood. He issued power to his apostles. He had given them teaching. He would soon give them and the whole church the blessing of the Holy Spirit. He would give them the banquet of the sacraments. and not only to St. Peter, but to a church of his followers who were to bear, as St. Paul would say, good fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life, he says, now, look out on the multitude and have compassion. Feed my sheep. You may not have been given 4,000 people who look to you for nourishment, but I can promise you that if you go out into the world in Christ's name, the Lord will make it evident that there are people near you that you are meant to help feed. It could be literally, but more than likely it is by your prayers and encouragement, by the fruit of the Spirit, by the fruit of your life, that you are to join with the Lord in his ministry. From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Jesus, knowing the answer already, even as he asked the question, Jesus addressed his disciples, and now looking out at a fruitful church, he asks the same of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.